So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribe. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview. Wisconsin Eye, in an attempt to bring information to Wisconsin residents who are dealing with the COVID-19 crisis, is interviewing online some of those that are on the front line of those that are dealing with the crisis. Wisconsin Eye wants to thank Dr. Mark Kaufman, Chief Medical Officer for the Wisconsin Hospital Association, for giving us a few minutes of his time. Dr. Kaufman, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Give us an overview. How well, just generally, statewide are Wisconsin hospitals dealing with this crisis, sir?
I think generally they're dealing pretty well. Over the last week or two, as the number of cases has risen, lots of effort and preparation for a potential surge of patients seriously ill with COVID-19. So the wave really hasn't hit most hospitals yet. As of yesterday in Wisconsin, we had 416 confirmed cases of patients with COVID-19. And 5 deaths. So the inpatient wave really hasn't hit yet. So lots of effort and preparations going into for a potential surge of patients.
Well, when we talk about surge, sir, are there any models that you, as a veteran healthcare provider, trust? Do you think Wisconsin could see a surge of? You've seen the New York Times diag charts: 5%, 10%, 20%. Which contingency is the WHA planning for?
I think all member hospitals are planning really for a large, large surge, but we hope it really doesn't come to that. And nobody really knows how big the surge wave is going to be and how quickly it's going to get here. But I think hospitals are preparing for a major influx, and they should be.
Well, what surge would exceed the number of beds in our WHA hospitals, sir?
Well, right now, across hospitals in Wisconsin, we have about 11,000 hospital beds, 2,600 ICU beds, and about 620 ventilators. Generally, Wisconsin hospitals over time, their average occupancy rate for beds is 58%. So I think right now, generally there is capacity, but people are preparing for, for a large demand on that capacity, depending upon how big the surge is. We know that more patients will get infected with COVID-19 in Wisconsin, and the whole concept of social distancing, something that is incredibly important, really the only tool we have in our toolbox right now, because we don't have a vaccine and we don't have proven antiviral medicines for COVID-19. Social distancing, if we all do it really well, which we really have to, will slow the rate of infection, the number of people infected, and the influx of patients at any one time who are really seriously ill, which will help match the supply of healthcare resources to the needs of those seriously ill patients.
Social distancing means different things to different people, doctor. What is your definition of social distancing, sir?
Well, right now in Wisconsin, what it means is stay at home and really only leave your home. And this applies to everybody except for really needed trips to the pharmacy, to the grocery store, and for healthcare. And try to consolidate those trips to the grocery store to as infrequently as possible. Not having friends over, not having play dates. It's fine to go outside, but try and keep at least 6 feet away from people. And if we all do that in Wisconsin and around the country, we really can have a beneficial impact on the spread of COVID-19 and how quickly it comes and how many people are infected.
As a veteran doctor and healthcare professional, what period would you anticipate? The federal government talked about 15 days, but are you now telling people that it's probably going to be significantly longer than that, doctor?
I'm not optimistic personally that 15 days will do it. Certainly that's a good point to reassess. But as you look what's really happened around the world and at other states in our country, specifically California, Washington State, and New York, it's really taken way more than 15 days to sort of see an impact of distancing. That has not happened in New York in terms of a beneficial impact. It's starting to happen a bit in Washington State. When you look around the world, the countries that have really handled this well in terms of dampening their surges, specifically South Korea, they have been very aggressive with their public health measures.
When you say Wisconsin hospitals have 620 ventilators, you and I are following closely the national debate over ventilators. Ventilators, a complex piece of equipment, they just can't, you just can't place an order for 200 or 100 more ventilators, can you, sir? Can you talk about the process of Wisconsin hospitals getting more ventilators?
Well, I think that you can place an order, but right now the factories that have historically produced ventilators are receiving way too many orders. There is some innovation that's happening in states like California and Washington. Again, I've just read this in newspaper accounts, but there has been some innovation with respect to having adapting ventilators so they can serve not just one patient, but up to four patients.
Up to four, yes.
And there are machines called CPAP machines, which are used for generally sleep apnea, continuous positive airway pressure machines that some people are adapting for ventilators. You may have read reports that you know, the President of the United States has asked the auto industries to start making ventilators. Elon Musk at Tesla said that he can turn out some ventilators. This is all very much in flux. But I think the good news is that we're just not going to the traditional sources. We're looking for innovation. We're trying to learn from states like the state of Washington and California, their lessons learned. So we really do need all hands on deck. And it's not just the healthcare community. It's really industry. This really is a war on COVID-19. And just as in World War II, we need everybody pulling together, thinking outside the box, and sorting through how we can get through this as best as we can as a country.
You alluded to the number from DHS, 416 confirmed. What percentage of those are in WHA hospitals, sir?
So I don't know the exact number. I think at a press conference with the governor and Dr. Ryan Westergaard a few days ago, I believe that Dr. Westergaard said that about a 10% hospitalization rate for Wisconsin citizens who had contracted COVID-19. So presumably it's about 40 based upon the current confirmed cases that are probably in the hospital.
Thank you. Are Wisconsin hospitals running low on the personal protection equipment? Have they been resupplied significantly? Future supplies of PPE is a major concern. Have Wisconsin hospitals had to issue any reuse orders, doctor?
I think the answer is probably yes, but it's not across the board. It's a different situation at different hospitals, depending upon, you know, their base supply of personal protective equipment, which includes surgical facial masks, the so-called N95 masks, which protect healthcare workers from contracting the disease, as well as gowns and gloves. So it depends upon their base supply, the current status of COVID-19 in their service area, the number of patients presenting, and also the impact of social distancing in their community, and the cooperation of all of us as citizens of not just going to the emergency room and showing up wanting a COVID-19 test. Always call before you go. So in terms of the supplies, the CDC has offered official guidance of how to best conserve personal protective equipment. All Wisconsin hospitals are aware of that and following it. And the CDC guidelines have to do with sort of three scenarios. One is a normal scenario where there's not an epidemic going on. The second scenario is where there is an epidemic or a pandemic and supplies are running short. And the third is when there's really a critical shortage. So that has to do with reuse, prolonged use, repurposing. So depending upon where you are as a hospital, where you are as a staff, where you are with your supplies. There is guidance out there how to best appropriately conserve PPE.
You and I have seen some news stories about, not in Wisconsin, let's say that again, not in Wisconsin, but okay, some hospitals saying we only have a few days, maybe a week's share of these PPEs. Is that an issue with our Wisconsin hospitals, Doctor?
I have not heard that there's that critical a shortage at any of Wisconsin hospitals. You asked about resupply. Wisconsin recently did receive a share of what's called the Strategic National Reserve or supply of PPE, so that has been helpful. You may be aware, or the viewers may be aware, that the construction industry, as an example, uses N95 masks. And there's an effort for that industry, which has really been terrific to work with WHA and our member hospitals, to repurpose those masks for healthcare use. So there are some, you know, potential areas of extra supply, but again, I think we're okay right now, but there's active conservation going on. But it does really depend upon how good we all are with social distancing, which can really impact the height of that surge and the pace at which it comes.
With the 416 positives, and of those, let's just look at those, 204 Milwaukee County, 61 in Dane County. My question, Doctor, what additional significant challenges do our urban hospitals face that may not also be true in some of our rural hospitals?
You know, it's a little hard to say depending upon how the pandemic rolls out in Wisconsin. I think the challenge for urban hospitals, which are typically referral centers and have more sophisticated capabilities for people who need ventilator support, I think their challenge is going to be if the pandemic hits a lot of rural hospitals and areas that need to transfer patients, the urban centers, the tertiary and quaternary referral centers could have a wave of patients referred and quickly, fill up, very quickly fill up. I think the challenge for rural hospitals is just going to depend upon where that hospital is and what the epidemic looks like locally. But typically, rural hospital challenges are that they don't have a lot of staff, and those staff have multiple roles. So the challenge for rural hospitals is keeping their healthcare workforce safe. That's really a challenge for all hospitals, but especially for rural hospitals because their staffs are small. So if the epidemic does flow significantly to our rural hospitals, and despite the best precautions with personal protective equipment, their staff become ill, they could quickly run into a healthcare worker shortage, and that could be a real concern.
So you understand the appeals of officials in Vilas and Oneida County saying, if you own a second home, cottage, don't come here because we run the risk of swamping our limited rural health care abilities, sir.
Absolutely. And I think that's happened in a lot of states where second homeowners have been asked not to return to their primary home. Again, that challenge is that rural hospitals have relatively small staffs and they have multiple roles. So if really they have a lot of COVID-19 patients and the healthcare workforce, a small percentage or 10%, which has been sometimes the experience in other countries, eventually comes down with COVID-19, that can really impact the ability for those hospitals and communities to provide care to their full-time residents.
With maybe only 416 confirmed cases, maybe 10%, 12% of those in hospitals, so not every Wisconsin hospital is treating a COVID-19 patient, correct, sir?
I don't know for sure, but probably not.
Okay. Are hospital employees working longer shifts? Have they gone from 8, 10, 12 hours to 12 hours to deal with, number one, the existing patient caseload, excuse me, and the potential surge, sir?
My guess is that many hospitals staff are working longer shifts, but that's not an unusual phenomenon at this time of the year. as typically influenza peaks, or really at any time of the year when there are just a lot of surgeries, or for whatever reason there are community illnesses, not COVID-19. It's very common for hospitals to have to juggle shifts, whether it's going from 8 hours to 12 hours, or people asking people to volunteer for more shifts. Obviously, if there's a huge influx of patients needing hospitalization related to COVID-19 or something else, it always can impact staffing. But hospitals are really very used to sort of managing that on a day-to-day basis.
Do we have WHA staff members at their hospitals staying overnight so they won't jeopardize the health of their families?
So I think you mean not WHA staff members, but hospital,
yes,
hospital employees?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry. Thank you for the clarification.
No worries. So I think that probably is happening. Again, I've read about that more, not so much in Wisconsin, but it is a common dynamic in states that have more COVID-19 infections than Wisconsin does now. And the whole idea behind that is if a healthcare worker, let's say, is working frequently with COVID-19 patients, and one of the responses in Washington and California, or one of the lessons learned, is they recommend that there be staff dedicated to the care of COVID-19 patients and other staff not taking care of COVID-19 patients. So those staff that have significant and frequent exposure to COVID-19 patients, they may not want to go home with small children and significant others and potentially infect them. One of the aspects of COVID-19 is that some patients become infected with COVID-19 and are contagious but have no symptoms, or early in the illness before you have any respiratory symptoms or congestion, you are contagious. So I think healthcare workers who want to be extra cautious sometimes do sort of self-quarantine after they're done with work and not go home because of those concerns.
Doctor, have you heard any numbers or estimates of the number of hospital workers who have tested positive for the virus, sir?
I have not heard. I've heard occasional anecdotes, again, in the lay press, but no comprehensive numbers of healthcare workers infected.
Okay, thank you for your time. Just a few more questions. Are hospitals in Wisconsin making extensive use of telemedicine, or is that largely being encouraged with someone and their personal physicians?
No, I think probably healthcare workers, nurses, caregivers, other personnel are using telemedicine as much as possible, whether it's for follow-up of outpatient clinic visits, routine follow-up for chronic diseases, preventive care, that sort of thing, or sometimes in the hospital even. You know, telehealth has been a presence in the hospital through telestroke or through tele-ICU. So I think we're all looking for innovative ways to still take care of patients, but to decrease the risk of transmission of COVID-19 from an infected patient to another patient, or from an infected patient to a healthcare worker.
Just a couple more questions. Given your long career in medicine, doctor, what most concerns you about the COVID-19 crisis? What most encourages you, sir?
Wow, good question. What most concerns me right now would be if we as a country and as a state and as individuals and communities don't take social distancing seriously, because in the cruise ship cohort of COVID-19 patients, 18% of patients with proven infection were asymptomatic. So given that 18% and the fact that you can be symptomatic, I'm sorry, that you can have the virus and be contagious before you're symptomatic, that means the only way to prevent that in the absence of vaccines or antiviral medicines at work is social distancing. So that is my biggest concern. The second concern is that a little bit of the hopscotch nature of how we're approaching COVID-19 as a country. Some states have stay-in-place orders, as Governor Evers declared yesterday. Other states are not doing that. And if people are traveling from state to state, and not really following the guidelines of social distancing, we're just going to have a lot worse situation than possible.
Anything that makes you hopeful, sir?
Yes, lots makes me hopeful. This is somewhat manageable with social distancing. I'm encouraged by the fact that, 30,000 retired nurses, doctors in New York have decided to come back to work to help out. I'm encouraged by the fact that industries like construction in Wisconsin are looking to provide, their N95 masks. I'm encouraged that other industries are pitching in and asking how they can help as well. We have people in Wisconsin sewing masks at home in campaigns to provide extra supplies of personal protective equipment.
Are those safe?
Last thing I'd say is I'm just encouraged by what I sense is an emerging sense of community, and we're all in this together, and it is manageable, but we all have to do our part.
Then my final question is, sir, how should Wisconsin residents now see Wisconsin hospitals, specifically if they feel ill or if they're caring for a loved one who feels ill? When should they show up at hospital ERs? It seems like there's new protocols and new rules in place, and thank you.
Call your physician. Call your healthcare provider for advice, whether you're concerned about COVID-19 or any other condition. In terms of going straight to the emergency room, you do that if you really feel like you have a life-threatening emergency, and not just COVID-19, crushing chest pain, really inability to breathe, being faint, actually fainting on the floor. It's the same thing. If it's a life, if you believe you have life-threatening symptoms, you should call 911 and go to the emergency room. But for the 99.5% of other situations, you should call your healthcare provider, call your doctor, and explain your symptoms and follow their advice.
Is a final summary, a wrap-up question this way, is it fair to say, going back to what you said earlier in the interview, that right now Wisconsin hospitals are preparing for a potential surge, sir?
Absolutely. They are all preparing for a surge, and they have their part, and we as citizens all have our part. And we as citizens, can really have a beneficial impact on the arrival of the surge, the number of our fellow citizens who get infected, and the severity of the surge by staying at home and doing appropriate social distancing.
Dr. Mark Kaufman is Chief Medical Officer for the Wisconsin Hospital Association. I want to thank Dr. Kaufman taking time out of his very busy day to help you and I as Wisconsin residents know how to respond to the COVID-19 crisis. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.